This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, team, listen up. This crew is about family, but the game has changed now.
Dominic Toretto just went rogue.
You gonna turn your back on family?
I know it looks bad. Don't give up on him so easy.
We've only got one chance to make this family whole again.
Don't do this, Dom.
You ready?
One thing I can guarantee, no one's ready for this.
She's the very definition of high-tech terrorism.
There's thousands of cars in this city, and now they're all mine.
Now I know what it feels like to be every cop ever chasing us.
London, Abu Dhabi, Cuba. Our paths have crossed before, Dom. You just didn't know it. I think I need to remind you why you chose to be here.
I got no choice!
If you're gonna catch Dom, you're gonna need a little help.
You wanna tell me why you just put me in a room with this tea and crumpets eating criminal?
You know, I think that tight t-shirt's cutting up the circulation of your brain. You should get a bigger size.
You guys are gonna work together.
Love to.
I've been waiting for this.
We got a tank.
Now it's my turn. Boom, baby!
I don't know why you're doing this, but I know one thing. You love me. Fire!
Hang on to your ass!
The new theme song.
This new theme song, you know, I'm always creating. That's who I am. Okay. So Lauren, she ain't here. She's fucking doing some shit, tinkering around.
She got
around
a little mini project.
A little mini, tiny little project. Gabrus is here, and we are talking. No. Never apologize. I love you, and
that's
I'm
all I give
fun.
A fuck about.
Okay. We're talking The Fate of the Furious from 2017. It's the 8th episode of our 4th season. We're working our way through the Fast and the Furious franchise. Zoom, zoom. 10 episodes, 9 movies, also Hobbs and Shaw. Okay, you guys, it's available on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu. Guess what? There's going to be spoilers. So if you would like to not be spoiled, watch the 2-hour film.
2+ hours.
2 hours and 15 fucking minutes.
It's got Gabrus. White lady dreads, so you should be able to sit through it.
Honestly, those dreads were shocking. Fully, I texted you. I was like, Charlize Theron with dreads? What's going on?
Was she tricked in this movie? She has to wear dreads and kiss Vin Diesel. I feel like she like owed someone at Universal a huge favor, or like she fucked over some exec at some point.
They shot all of her shit, I think, in 3 days. They were like, we have one location. The rest of it is you are on an airplane. No, the airplane won't stop for gas. Nothing. You're going to keep flying. I'm going to introduce our guest. Ooh, hell baby. Yeah. Ooh, Nicole is an actress, improviser, and writer who's appeared on Grace and Frankie, a Black Lady sketch show, and Shrill. She co-hosts the podcast The Scroll Down with Marcella Arguello. I think I say her name correctly.
I don't think
Arguello.
You do.
I've been saying her name wrong for years, and she's going to fucking roast me for that. It's also on HeadGum, so welcome, Nicole!
Hey, hello, guys. How are you?
Hi, hi, hi.
We are wonderful. Well, this is the Newcomers Podcast, a.k.a. The Toy Shop. Grab whatever you want to drive, Nicole.
Ooh, I love it.
I want the orange one. Put it down, Blanta. I couldn't
Blanta?
Believe what
you
he
got
said.
That black beard? Blanta. Got black Santa.
Black
oh
my Santa.
Oh, yeah, Blanta. There was so much happening in that movie. There was a lot.
There was so much. At one point, they said, we're going to need a bigger truck, which yeah. I thought was funny because I think it's Jaws where it's like, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Mm-hmm. It
also,
is.
They said, get in. We're going to blow up some nukes or something. And I was like, that's funny. Like, get in, loser. We're going shopping. I was like, they're just borrowing from other movies at this point.
Yeah. Half the dialogue to me seemed like, oh, is that for real? Oh, that's for real. That's really the words they're saying. Okay. That's what they're saying. I kept thinking that. I was like, is this what? I guess I don't watch a lot of action movies, but I was like, wow, they're really just like going like classic bullshit lines.
Nicole, what's your like history with the Fast and the Furious franchise? Like where do you play with it? Yeah.
I think that I've only seen the first one. So so what was that, like 2009? When was it? Like they've
2000.
Been going forever.
Yeah, 2000.
2003.
So I saw
shit,
the
yeah.
first one years and years and years ago. But yeah, that's all. I've never seen any of them. And I can't even believe that they're still going. Like even when I was playing this, I was like, this is so fun. Look at Tyrese still having a career. Michelle Rodriguez still working. Like because they're all just doing, they've just been doing that for years. And I haven't seen it since the first one. So
yeah,
this was a real re-entry.
Like, they got to be like 10-month long shoots and shit because these people can't work on anything else. Like, it's just like, where's Luda been? It's like, oh, he's shot 11 Fast and the Furious movies in Antarctica. And you're like, oh, okay.
That's all they do.
That's so funny to watch this movie with no context of any other Fast. It's even funnier to watch it with only the context from the first movie.
I only
recognize Dom and Letty.
And
it's
right. And not to mention, I have no... Yeah, and I have no like I usually I watched that movie an hour ago and I'm like, what happened in that movie? Like I have no memory.
Yeah.
So
well, thanks
I was
for
like,
coming
what?
On the pod.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I can't wait to recap this with you guys. No, but I was like, what? I don't even remember what happened. I thought Dom and Letty were brother and sister, so I was shook. I was like, what's happening?
No, they're lovers.
They're lovers.
No, Dom and
Letty's
Mia are brother and sister.
Yes, Mia is not in the movie because
she's not in it.
Sadly, Paul Walker passed away, and instead of having him die in the movie, they just said, we can't call Brian.
We promised we wouldn't bother them, is what they say. We said we wouldn't involve Mia and Brian.
But then he names his kid Brian, and it's like, so what is this? This is like you promised to never call your best fucking friend again, but you're going to name your kid after him?
I didn't know what. First of all, I did not know that was Paul Walker's character because, again, I haven't seen these movies in so long. And when he said this is, and he like, it was like this big moment, this is Brian. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, that has to have some meaning because like, otherwise, that's crazy.
Especially for a Vin's kid with a Brazilian woman, for it to be like, they're so ethnically ambiguous. You're like, this is my son. Brian. And you're like, really?
Wait,
the whitest. Yeah. Oh, Brian O'Connor. Okay. A tribute to a character. Who's alive, but
who's
the actor
alive?
Is dead.
Yes.
Got it.
Also, I loved at the end where the cars magically shield Dom from this explosion.
Oh, yeah.
But I was
from
like, it's a donut.
Shelf.
Like the fire would reach in the middle of the cars,
it could
but
just
it doesn't.
Go right in the middle. Yeah, it could
it's
go,
also
it could easily
ice.
Go around it.
It's ice. It's not.
Yeah, it would melt the fucking ice. They would drown. But I love when Dom looks at Letty and he's like, I got so much to tell you. And then they cut to him at the end of the story and she's like, wow, that was a lot.
Very casual. All of this was very casual. Even honestly, even him agreeing to work with Cypher, I was like, she just showed him a picture on her phone and he was like, yeah, sure, I guess I gotta go. Turn on family.
This is my besides Hobbs and Shaw, this is my least favorite in the franchise. And I think I would be so much better off with the movie if one person on his squad just goes, yo, you think Dom is like in some sort of hostage situation? Like he's a legendary hero. Uh-huh. You think can we not work our brains around? We've been labeled terrorists 10 times in this series. Can we not wrap our heads around that Dom is in some sort of bind? Right. And it's like, nah, he's turned. It's like,
Letty
really?
Was like,
Hobbs
I don't, is... Letty kind of was like, I don't trust this. I don't think Dom would do this.
Right.
But she doesn't follow through in anything. At one point,
she barely
just like,
questioned it. Yeah, she was like, this doesn't seem right. But she didn't really say, like, let's try to figure out what's going on here, people. Like, she just kind of was like, we can fight against him. I don't think he wants to do this, but I'll just go with you guys on this on this journey.
Yeah, she was like, fuck this mission. My potato-headed husband kissed fucking a white woman with dreads in front of me.
I couldn't believe that.
They could rot in fucking H-E double hockey sticks for all I care.
I couldn't believe when they kissed. I was like, Cypher, how sensual. Also, you're off the plane. How crazy.
Yeah, she got into a different location. That was her second location.
Oh,
for the
okay.
Shoot.
So she worked 4 days.
Two
locations, 2 days on the plane.
I think they're in the same. I think they're in the same warehouse studio. I think they just shot One Direction. How do you like that? Next level concussion grenades. Cool line, Cypher. Showing off your fucking gear and merch and as you blow people.
So
away.
Many of her lines, I was like, what? Nobody who wrote this knows what she's talking about. Get the DMT effer blah blah scoopity dee doop scoop. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That's another major part of a problem with this movie is that Cypher's kind of a whack bad guy. In that, like, we faced Owen Shaw, we faced Deckard Shaw, now a good guy. Just so you know, Jason Statham was the main bad guy of the last movie.
And then his brother at the end, Owen, is the bad guy from 2 movies ago?
From 6, yeah.
Yeah,
they just turn around. And I heard that, I read somewhere, I don't know if I was supposed to read anything, but I read somewhere that that Jason Statham's character killed, like, one of their family, right?
Yeah, in killed
movie,
Han.
But then now they're working with him. Like, he just turned around and became a good guy with them. Yeah. They're like, yeah, it's okay. He killed him, but, like, we're over it.
I forgot that he killed Han.
Yeah.
I fucking forgot he killed Han. And I'm like, so why would Dom want to work with the man who killed Han? You love Han. That's part of your team.
Right. Without saying too much, when they reveal that Shaw kills Han is the third twist on Han's death. Like, the first twist is that it happened after movies 5, 6, and 7. Uh-huh. And then the other twist is that there's still one more twist.
There's still one more twist.
Coming up in the series. So just get pumped for the Fast 9.
Oh, boy.
Final.
I'm excited.
I can't even promise it's the final twist on Han's death, to be honest. They could keep relitigating it for more.
We got a two-parter coming out. We got Fast 10, which will be in 2 parts, which I'm very excited about.
Because it's going to be the last movie, right?
Allegedly.
And so then they're like, let's make it 2 movies so that we can keep doing this. They don't want to go home.
Vin Diesel famously says in every interview, we're not leaving anything off the table.
Yeah.
And it's just like, he's literally just saying, like, whatever Universal wants to pay me, I'll do.
He's got it made. I haven't heard from Vin Diesel in years, but everybody else, I mean, he's huge to people that watch these movies. He's probably making a ton of money.
He's
I would just
thriving.
Stay there. Yeah, be like, you want to make like 15 of these? Yeah, we can just keep going. We don't have to stop. Let's not.
And I got to say, in this movie, Dom Toretto is no longer a human being. He is a superhero, unbreakable, unkillable. It's really wild. I was like, I could take a leap of, you know, imagination, but this is fucking nuts.
Right. I will suspend disbelief, but doesn't he at one point carry a nuclear weapon with his, like, bare hands? Is that what he's carrying when they're, like, breaking into the car and all that stuff's happening? I was like, what is going on? They are very wild with these nuclear weapons. Like, very loose with it.
Yeah. Also, who is Cypher? And why does Cypher...
Cypher's a whole organization. Not exactly. Cypher is one white woman with a computer.
I don't know. These white ladies with dreads, they cannot be trusted. We found that out during this movie. You know what I'm saying?
She's either going to play you an entire album or get her hands on an EMP that'll shut down the world.
She's going to pick up an acoustic guitar or a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. It's
one or the other.
It's never in between. Yeah, exactly.
Real quick, we got to get into the Toretto Gazzetto.
Oh, my God.
Dame Helen Mirren and Vin Diesel dance in the rain after a Dolce & Gabbana fashion show. After a Dolce & Gabbana fashion show ahead of the Venice Film Festival, Helen Mirren posted a moment she shared with her Fast and Furious co-star Vin Diesel. "I danced in the rain with Vin Diesel," Mirren captioned the photo on Instagram. During the London premiere of Furious 7 in 2015, Mirren raved about the movie and expressed interest in appearing in the sequel. She reiterated her wish to on the Graham Norton show. Word got around to Vin Diesel, who wrote a role for her, and the co-stars have been friends ever since. "Vin Diesel, I would like to be in a Fast and the Furious movie if this is how it works. Someone get it to Vin."
Right. All you got to do is just ask him. I mean, maybe if you're Dame Helen Mirren, it's not that hard. But so he writes the
movie. She was already in another movie, to be fair. She was in 6 when she asked to be in 7.
Okay. Or 8.
Wait, she was in 6?
Was she not in... She was not in a previous one. Didn't we see her as Shaw's mom? No, this might be the reveal.
I think this is the reveal because... Yeah. They barely used her, and I was like, what the fuck? And then at the end, I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, this makes sense.
I got to say, I saw this Instagram posted of them dancing, and I learned and understood shipping culture in that moment, because I was like, I hoped they fucked.
I hope so too.
Vin Diesel fucked Helen Mirren. I would pay to see that.
I would also pay a lot of money to see that. They look so happy in the picture. It looks like they did fuck. Yeah, like they just got finished fucking, put their clothes on in the limo, and were like, let's dance in the fucking rain.
Oh, I just saw a picture of her. They do look very cozy in these pictures of them. You see those? I'm like,
she's got that diesel fuel dripping down her leg.
That's nasty, but it's funny.
She pulled up and said, "Fill her up."
She said, "Fill her up." She said, "The most important thing is family in between these thighs."
She's like, "Don't worry, I'm old enough. We ain't making any more family. You can direct deposit."
That's right. The family line stops here.
So I guess we should take a break before we get into the movie. So let's take a break. Remember in 2018 when border control separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not been reunified. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'd see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that families belong together, join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity to donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. altrolado.org/volunteer.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
Ooh, we're back. So this was written by Chris Morgan, who's written other ones. And then F. Gary Gray, who I think is new to the franchise.
He's new to the franchise, but legendary director. He directed Set It Off, Friday, and then Straight Outta Compton.
And then Straight Outta Compton,
which I think got him this movie.
Did he direct a TLC music video, or am I just like making that up out of nowhere? Probably.
He might have.
No, he probably, look it up. Yeah. No, he has.
But that's when I saw his name. I was like, oh, the TLC guy.
He directed Waterfalls.
Yes, I thought he did. He directed Waterfalls. See, that's how I know him. Yes, I know his catalog.
Well, not just TLC, music videos, TLC music video. Waterfalls,
exactly,
baby.
Exactly.
Such a good song. Also, Set It Off, one of my favorite fucking movies.
I love Set It Off.
It's so fucking good. So this movie, I would say, starts... The movies, they're so strange. There's always like an homage to like booties and race culture and Dom being the fastest person on whatever land he's on. So we start in Havana.
Yeah.
I told Dom, you the last like five movies start with him somewhere in Central America being what he believes to be like a local. And this one, he's speaking the most Spanish, and I'm here for it.
And I don't speak Spanish, so I'm like, is this good Spanish?
Yeah.
It's gringo Spanish for sure.
Yeah.
But I like, he's like, that's the Cuban spirit. Like, how do you know? You've been here for 3 months. You've been traveling the world. How long has passed since the last movie, bro? What do you know about the Cuban spirit?
Well, he's pretty presumptuous. Like, even the way he approaches Charlize Theron, he just walks up to her. She's obviously fixing her. He's like, no, you need some help over there. Like, he's just like, he's a know-it-all.
So she said she had been watching him. So I think this is a thing Dom does. He just sees people in need and he's like, I can help. So they're on their honeymoon in Havana. His cousin is down there, Fernando. He owes money to a local racer named Raldo. So Dom challenges Raldo to a race. And Raldo's like, you got to race in this nasty ass car. So then Dom rips the doors off.
Rips everything but the engine.
Really soups it up.
Leave the engine.
Puts the nitrous in. There's that nitrous. And they're like, this isn't a car. This is a bomb now.
It's Cuban Nas.
Cuban Nas. Or no, sorry. Letty says it. She's like, this is Cuban Nas. And when I tell you, this bitch was laughing so hard at this opening scene. I couldn't believe it. So Raldo says, this isn't, or what did he say? It's not a quarter mile. It's not, or something.
It's a Cuban mile.
It's a Cuban mile. And I was like, is that different? Is a Cuban mile different?
That's where you drive the car from Havana to Miami somehow. You just drive it on the water, I think. It's the Cuban mile.
You're smoking a cigar the whole way?
How hot is this dude, by the way?
Raldo is so fucking hot.
Oh, yeah, Raldo's hot.
My God.
I thought you were talking about Vin Diesel, and I was like, no, I'm not getting it from him.
No,
but yes,
Vin Diesel's very hot. You leave him alone.
Vin Diesel just reminds me so much of a dad. I just feel like he's a dad character to me.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Raldo can get it.
He is the head of the daddy family now.
That's true.
But yeah, so he beats Raldo by creating a rocket car that launches backwards. And then he goes, look out, to a bunch of people. And then the car goes up in the air and lands in the water. And then Dom like barrel rolls. And then he's in like the Spider-Man pose. And he looks around real scared. And then a bunch of kids are around him. And he's like, oh, okay, they're kids. He seemed scared of these children.
He's always got to be on guard.
He was like, they're coming to kill me because the motorcycle guys tried to kill him or whatever.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This part is so crazy. If you saw any car race, no less a car on fire, would you be like celebrating in the highway? Be like, he'll definitely stop before he gets to us.
Yeah.
Right.
He's driving backwards 85 miles an hour on fire.
Car's on fire. Exactly. Seems very
honestly.
Wild.
lose the race, Dom.
Just he can't. Hey,
cars
can't.
On fire. Jump out, buddy.
No, like, he can't.
He can't.
Because he's like, it doesn't matter who, what kind of car you're driving. Mm-hmm. It's who's the driver.
That's what he says.
And he's the best driver in all the land.
If he dies in this dumb race he's doing where he's driving a bomb backwards, if he dies, Cypher kills everybody. Like, the world ends.
It'll be done.
Yep.
I don't get it.
But he lets Rolando keep his car because he says, your respect is enough. And then he leaves his car with his cousin Fernando, and then we never see Fernando again.
Fernando's like, the Impala? Impala? Yeah, exactly.
The Impala? Oh, wow.
Oh, he's good. Sick, Dom. Dominic Toretto, my Italian cousin from Los Angeles, visiting Cuba.
Very wild. That's where I was like, maybe I've missed a lot of things because I really had no idea what was going on in the beginning. I was like, does the movie take place in Cuba now? I was like, what is going on? Where are we? What's happening?
I mean, it is definitely like a cold open that like doesn't aid the story.
No. The last few movies feature that. It's like, what has Dom been up to? He's like, he's the patriarch of a village in Central America. Like, always, it's like, oh, he went to a Latinx country and he's the mayor of Guadalajara. He's like, oh, he's just, everyone's like, Dom! And they all speak English enough to communicate with him. It's such a power trip to become the EP of a movie and be like, every time we find my character, everybody in a different country loves him. And
they're all just celebrating him. Yeah. They're all just going to be standing in the streets celebrating me, telling me how wonderful I am. You know, and then I win the race going backwards in a bomb. No big deal.
So then he's just like walking along. Also, is Vin Diesel pigeon-footed? He walks funny in his boots.
I never noticed.
Or maybe he's bow-legged. There's something going on with his legs, but I'm into it. So he meets Cypher because Cypher's like, oh no, my car don't work. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, you're missing this. And she's like, I know. Here's a picture on my phone. And he's like, oh God, I gotta leave the family.
Gotta leave my family. Gotta totally turn on them immediately because I saw a picture.
Immediately.
don't you love when he comes out and he sees the woman having trouble with the car and turns around and Charlize Theron? You're like, gee, I wonder if she's a main character.
Right. Wild.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
Possibly just a one scene lady with a broken car.
I wish they would do that, though. Like, I wish they would kill more big actors in movies, like, so that you wouldn't know they were going to survive. Just kill them. Or, like, make them a small character. Make her just somebody he passes by on the street.
Yeah, throw the Law and Order rule in its face where it's like, the most famous guest star is obviously the killer. Mm-hmm. But if we do, like, Charlize is in the scene and then we never see her again.
Exactly.
Oh, that would be so sick if she appeared movies ago. Like, if she was just, like, two movies ago, and now she's, like, it's like, oh, we had that one random scene with Charlize.
Yeah, that would be
that
really
would
good.
Take planning. What happens is they rewatch the movies and go, here's a plot hole that we can use to fuel our storyline in this next one.
Yeah. They retcon so much shit. I love it. They're just like, okay, yeah, and let's put Leo and Santos here. Like, we haven't seen them
wild.
In three movies. Like,
that was so nuts. I was like, oh, okay.
Knowing how the business works, that if Vin keeps throwing all his old cronies a day's pay for just being like, come to Spain, shoot this thing behind an ambulance. Like, that's kind of sick in a way.
They're like, great, yeah, I'll fucking do that. So then we see Hobbs is now coaching soccer.
Yeah. Oh, and a lot, and the ladies love it.
The ladies
love soccer. They're just staring at him.
He makes these little girls do a Samoan, I'm not sure what it is.
It's called a haka.
Oh, a haka.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like a warrior dance? I don't want to say that. Is that what it is?
That's exactly what it is. Okay. The way I know about it is in Maori culture, like the New Zealand indigenous people. Mm-hmm. I know this through rugby. Their rugby team famously does the haka before every match. And it's what the warring tribes used to do to each other to like demonstrate their power and would frequently cause the surrender. Like a haka could like eliminate the fight because they're like, these guys are so good at this, it's scary.
They're probably gonna kill us because look at this dance.
Oh, so that's why that little white girl was like, I don't want to play.
Yeah. And it's pretty rad to see it in such a mainstream movie. Mm-hmm. And I love that sequence. I do hate you know me, I hate when they apply any sex appeal to The Rock. He's just
I mean, they tried to apply
to me,
it and then
and
he
it
was like
land.
no
Yeah,
he's like, just a lot of moms.
I was also like, I know that he's muscular, but he looks massive in these movies.
He doesn't look normal. It doesn't look like if you are a mom of an 8-year-old, you'd be like, oh, yeah. Because as someone who watches a ton of action movies for his career and his fun, like every movie that features Arnold Schwarzenegger as like a sex symbol, it's like, ooh, the hunky kindergarten teacher. It's like, this guy's a giant freak. He has huge tits.
That's way too much to handle.
It's a very specific type. That's a very specific type that not every mom is guaranteed to be into a huge body, a hairless bodybuilding alien.
But all these moms are very into it, and they're smacking their lips at him. And then this whole conversation, I was like, I don't get it.
Me either. I was like, where did this detective just randomly come to the soccer game and show up? And he's like, hey, man, sorry. Like, I got to show you these briefs real quick.
But he was like, so you got to go do this, but it's not government sanctioned? And it was just really confusing.
Because he had been, a detective of some sort, and then they took it away. So they're like, listen, this is, like, beyond police work.
Oh, yeah, because he became a criminal in the last one? No, wait.
See, they just vacillate rapidly between being terrorists and heroes, and, like, they've now gotten into, like, completely the gray area of, like, shadow governments. So there's not even any explanation as to who's on whose side. It's just like, the bomb is bad? Stop the bomb, lady.
So then Hobbs recruits Dom, Letty, Roman, Tej, and Ramsey, the fucking family, the crew's back together, to retrieve a device from a military outpost in Berlin. Mm-hmm. And then Dom steals this thing and goes rogue. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, it's because Cypher wants it. Forces Hobbs off the road. And Hobbs is like, you can, hey, buddy, you can give this back to me, you chum-stuck a son bitch.
Listen up, you son bitch. You better put that nuclear device down right now before the candy ass told you so.
The son bitch really got me. I was like, he's really hitting it hard. He's really saying son bitch.
He
like,
loves saying son bitch.
Once per movie, he does something from his wrestling days. And this is and so it's like 30 years after the fact, he's just dropping it in this movie.
Because wrestlers are pretty loyal to their fans. They're the type of people, well, not there, but the what I see from The Rock and what I've seen from John Cena is like, they're like, oh, I understand that the people, they made me. So I will give them what they want because why not? You made
The Rock literally was called the people's champ. Like, so he really believes that extra.
And was this his first movie? Were these his first movies? Because that's maybe why he worked it in? Or was he? Has he been in it since the beginning?
No. Not since the beginning. But,
he pops in 5, 6, 7,
oh, okay. So
8,
he knew
and then,
family. Okay.
And then he gets Hobbs and Shaw. And he gets a titular role in the next movie we'll be covering.
Yeah.
If you're Toretto, do you not pull Letty aside right as you're doing the mission?
Right?
You're like, yo, look, sweetheart, I need you to not tell the rest of the team, but I'm going to do something sketchy, but I promise.
Right,
you know,
because
how
that's
do you
his
not
ride or die.
It's like, why do you not have one singular conversation with your girlfriend? Just say, hey, man, I'm going to look sketchy for a minute, but trust me, like, it's going to work out in the end. Like, there's no conversation. And that's my thing is, like, there's no conversation like that, and then there's no moment where anybody's like, bro, are you good? Why are you doing this all of a sudden?
Also, they can speak to each other through the cars. I was like, nobody's pressing a button. They're literally looking at each other through the window, having conversations. And I was like, that's not how that works.
They can talk.
No, they have like blanket Bluetooth available for everybody or some shit like that, right? There's like no explanation as they can all hear each other and have like a normal diet.
It's
not like
so
go for Nicole. It's just like everyone's
just
talking amongst
free talking. So then he steals the thing for Cypher, who's a cyber terrorist. Hobbs gets arrested and he gets locked up in the same high security prison as Deckard Shaw.
What a coincidence. Right next door, right through the glass, they see each other.
So then Mr. Nobody comes back and I'm like, still not clear on who the fuck he is.
He's the representation of the shadow government. Like, he's in charge of a CIA adjacent organization that is hiring these people to do good missions, but also that's so vague and weird, and in real life an organization like that in America would be so fucking scummy and disgusting. I mean, it probably exists, to be fair.
Well,
but what about they reveal everyone's been handcuffed? Are we at this point where everyone's been handcuffed by Scott Eastwood?
No, first they escape prison. So Mr. Nobody sets it up for like Hobbs and Shaw to escape. And Hobbs is like, no, I want to get my job back the way I want to, you candy apple. But then he goes after Shaw, and I like to watch Shaw kick around his little kids, like those little prison slip-ons.
Oh, yeah.
It was very funny to me.
I really like this scene because it's a fun choreography of like Shaw is sort of quick and knows martial arts, and Hobbs is a monster who's insanely strong.
Punching the cement and picking up that fucking bench and fucking doing arm rolls with it or whatever.
And then when the full fight breaks out, he's getting fucking shot with the beanbags and shit, just taking it in the fucking dome.
He's like, rubber bullets, big mistake. And I was like, why is it a big mistake? Because you're indestructible. And
I'm like, that would actually hurt, sir. Yeah. I think it would anybody, no matter how huge you are. I think
but he's so oiled up, they just slide off of him.
If they shot him with two real bullets, would he go like, oh, real bullets? That was actually not a mistake. You're right. That will kill me.
Oh, like, no, okay, I'm good dead. Choice. Oops. Now,
I thought those were rubber.
Little nobody has them all handcuffed, but like wrong, because Letty gets out of them.
Yeah, let's talk about little nobody. Clint Eastwood's son. He sucks.
I remember seeing, can I just, totally not related to the movie, I remember seeing pictures of him back in the day and being like, damn, Scott Eastwood can get it. But he looks like a little guy. Like, he doesn't, I did not expect that. I was expecting a little bit more of like a brooding, intense figure. He's just a little nobody.
I think he's handsome. He's a cutie.
He's a cutie.
He's a pocket hunk.
He's a pocket hunk.
A real pocket hunk. But he has no charisma. Like, it is so clear. Like, I'm like, Paul Walker had charisma in fucking buckets. This dude has none.
And it's really apparent when they bring him in that this movie needs Paul Walker in a way. Like, needs a Paul Walker energy. I will say the highlight of Scott Eastwood being in this movie is when The Rock picks him up, breaks the handcuffs, and picks him up and presses him into the wall. That's
just
the highlight of Scott
Eastwood's
role in this movie.
It was very funny.
Yes.
So then we find out Cypher hired his brother Owen to steal the nightshade device, which is like, whatever. And then she also hired Moses Janke, who is
Jimon Hansu.
Jimon Hansu,
I can't remember ever how to say his name, but he's so fucking hot to me.
Yeah.
So hot.
To steal Eye of God, which is like, how convenient that she's behind the last two movies. We just didn't know it.
Yeah, wasn't in those movies. Okay,
no.
Now I'm picking up here. I'm like, okay, she was not. She's just revealing herself in this one.
Yeah, and then they're labeling her as, she's actually the main bad guy from the last two movies as well, which means that Shaw, Deckard Shaw, Jason Statham, is not that bad of a guy, because they need to start slowly pushing it as to why Hobbs and Shaw is the next movie to come out. So they're
actually,
like,
he's just an employee. He's
not
the
his
boss.
Brother is, who's the worst one also. And then they're going to save Dom's kid to be redeemed at the end of this movie.
It so is now wild how heroes. Much of this movie was in service of setting up Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, that's
it was kind of wild. And I was like, I don't give a shit about Hobbs and Shaw. I do like Shaw, though. So,
I do like Shaw too, and I thought I would like Hobbs and Shaw, but we'll talk about it next week. It's a different vibe. I think they had to start setting up Hobbs and Shaw because The Rock and Vin Diesel's headbutting
not get along.
We're not getting along at all.
Oh, they
at this
didn't
point.
Get along in real life.
Yeah, and the rumor I heard is that once they're outside in that moment when they square up, they're. Were planned to have a fight there, to have a big fight there between the two of them to help set up Hobbs and Shaw, and Vin put the kibosh on them having the fight.
Wow,
that's the tea I've heard. That's the tea I've heard. I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but I heard that Vin was like, lose that fight, like that's too much attention for other people, and then that's when Universal was like, well, let's spin it off with, let's give The Rock his own movie.
Wow.
He's like a machine.
I love to hear this.
That's
I also read an article that said that, I may have mentioned this, that nobody can like win or actually lose a fight. Like everyone turns on who's like down and who's up, but like nobody actually loses.
They have a lot of, in their contract, in Vin and Rock's contract after the fifth movie, or like they had like a, they have to land an even amount of blows in the final cut. Like, it can't be like, I obviously... Now, that's just two men who are mentally broken, who are like, if my fans see me lose a fight in a movie, they won't like
me
anymore.
Yeah, they'll lose respect for me.
They're gonna think I'm weak.
It's just the bald, muscly dude's dilemma. They're like, right? I have to.
Yo, Nicole, you called it. It's like any other actor... who mm-hmm. just subjugates their masculinity for a role. Yeah. Everyone sweats it. Like, artistically, everyone's like, whoa, Tom Cruise really went against type. So-and-so really went against type. These guys are like, my character is never going to die. And you're like, oh, fine. Dude, what are you, 14?
Listen to some Brene Brown or something about vulnerability, okay? It's a good thing, honey. It's
prescribing
a good thing.
Dom Toretto, Brene Brown would be a really funny thing.
What is this? Oh, you're going to like this, Dom.
Does she talk about family? So they track Dom and Cypher to their place moments before they attack the base. They injure the team, steal God's eye. Roman's like, let's call Brian. And Letty's like, no, we promised we would never call Brian and Mia again. And everyone goes, okay. So then
I'm dying. I thought that he died in the series too. Like, I didn't realize that they kept him alive and just said, don't call him.
I thought that he would have died in the series. Seems like not an easy fix, but like a good way to explain
it's
his
still
absence.
Be a nice tribute, and yeah, they can still memorialize him. And no, okay, so don't call
it's
him.
So weird. And wait till 9. There's some fun Brian referencing.
Oh,
I can't get over. It's should we call Brian and Mia? No, we promised we'd leave them alone. It's so fucking funny to put. It's on par with. Are we going to Tokyo? No, not yet. Like, I'm just like them.
Yeah. So Nicole Han dies in the second movie, the third movie in a Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. But then is in 4, 5, 6 dies or no? He goes to Tokyo in 7. So they spend like 3 or 4 movies with him going, can't go to Tokyo yet. I would go to Tokyo, but not yet. So funny to me.
The third movie takes place after the 7th movie, chronologically.
Chronologically.
Oh my God.
But the technology is so disparate because that movie out in like 2008.
It's
and now this
perfect.
Movie,
that's hilarious. This sounds like me trying to figure out what order to watch Star Wars in, because it always tells you like chronologically or the number, you know, when it came out. Watch it this time. It's like, what is happening? This sounds the same to me.
I feel like Nicole has some unique experience that can maybe help you with that. If her
4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, and then there's some sagas that are friends of the
yeah, then you can go to Rogue One, Solo, and all that shit.
And then Solo, that's what I was thinking of, whatever. They're hard and I don't get it.
And Solo fucking sucks, so
I didn't hate Solo.
You
I'm
didn't?
The only person who didn't hate it.
You're
I thought
controversial.
It was like good. I don't know. But also, I have no reverence to it. It's like whatever to me. Also, I love when they were like, when Roman's like, use Eye of God. And then everyone's like, you fucking idiot. That's too easy. Stupid. And he's like, hey, what? It's just a suggestion, you know?
That scene goes on to another fun thing, too, of like, what's her name? Ramses and Tej both doing like duo hacking, and and Mr. Nobody being like, why don't you get a load of this? And then and the way that they hack is like, what we can do is use the SCSI bus backend. It's like, good call. So all we have to do is send that. And it's like, let's do it. And they do it. And he goes, told you they were the best. It's like, what did they just say to each other?
Said
that's
nothing
an improv
to each
scene.
Other.
I've done improv. They're just clicking.
That's what I was just going to say. Is it's like it's one of those scenes where you just see some. Like, there were so many scenes like that where you're just seeing somebody clicking, clicking, clicking. And you're like, what are they doing? It doesn't even look close to like
I mean,
something.
That's all Charlize Theron did with her black nail polish. That was the only business she had, was clicking, clicking, clicking. But oh, wait. She does take Dom to see Elena that she has stolen. She captured Elena. Elena reveals that she got pregnant with Dom's son a couple months before he realized Letty was still alive.
Yes. So, Nicole, to break this down for you.
So she's pregnant in that movie.
She's pregnant in the movie where she shows up and learns that Dom is back with his wife, who he thought was dead, and is revealed that who died in 4 and is revealed at the end of 5 to be alive, comes back as a bad guy in 6, joins the team at the end of 6, and Dom gets back with her, and Dom's like, but in Brazil, I met this woman who's a widow, and I raw dogged her. I'm sorry.
Sorry about
it. That's what happened.
And when it's revealed that it's like, what is more family than revealing that he has a kid?
Actual
it's
family.
It's
also,
so
I think what's
nuts.
So funny is it because now we're thinking when Cypher showed him the picture, she was showing him a picture of Elena and the
baby.
Assuming,
and the baby.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
He didn't even say who that baby. He just like was like, okay, let's go. I'm on
well,
your
the
team
baby
now.
Was bald. So he's like, it's mine.
It's got to be mine. And just cut to a shot of a baby with like a Photoshop Vin Diesel head on it, like a huge potato head on like a little right. baby body.
Landing the same number of punches as a rock baby or something.
Holding two wrenches.
Also, oh I love that before it's revealed that he has a kid, he and Letty are in bed and she's like, do you want a kid? And he's like, and then like lifts the covers. And she's like, not now. Right. And then when it's revealed that he has a kid, I was like, that is funny that they like set it up that they're like, maybe we do want a kid.
Yep.
And again, that is literally just writing so that when the kid is part of the plot, Letty is okay with raising the child of
like, so
it's
easy.
So complicated.
Raising
so
the child of a woman her husband fucked while she was having amnesia
dead.
Because they thought she was dead right. and was
and
a bad guy.
How long was she even dead? Did they bury her? Did they see a body?
She was dead
really
for
know?
A whole movie.
Yeah, and whatever long, that how long is that in real time for them?
I God don't knows. Minutes.
2 hours and 45 minutes yeah. minimum.
He's like, damn, I'm so sad. You wanna hook up with me, Brazilian
I mean,
lady?
Well, he
She's like, just
so,
grab a condom. He's like, no, no fucking way.
A raw dog or
He's
nothing.
Like, no, Letty's dead. Let me dump in you. But he almost fucked Gal Gadot, or no, Gal Gadot threw herself at him, and he's like,
in four,
yuck.
Yeah.
And then fucks this next lady in five. It's wild. So, okay, later they're in New York City. Cypher sends Dom to retrieve a nuclear football held by the Russian Minister of Defense. Oh. And this is nuts. So Dom now has a bulletproof, fireproof rocket car.
He looked, yeah. And he had that outfit. He looked like a freaking superhero. All of a sudden, it felt like a superhero movie to me.
But he looked like the Iron Giant.
Yeah, yes. he looked because he's wooden as fuck. He's iron as fuck. He's just literally like, he can barely, he doesn't move. He's not young.
No.
He's massive, and he wears boot cut jeans in like every scene.
Sure does.
So you could only
it.
Do so much physically.
I think he was probably 50 when that movie came out, because I looked it up today, because I was like, how old is this dude? He's 54 now. So he was probably 50 when they shot that.
He's getting up there.
Like, yeah.
That's old for like, I mean, that's not old, like Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. was like 63 in The Last Avengers and has a kid or whatever.
Dang,
you
know,
like, get a fucking grip, bro. These guys are on so much HGH that they just like stay young forever until they're like 75 and then their head is huge.
Exactly.
Too
something
veiny.
Explodes.
Yeah.
Real quick, we have to take a break. Do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
And we're back. This is a fun sequence because so Dom is like, my car broke. And she's like, you have 5 minutes. And he's like, okay. And somehow Dom has orchestrated a way for her not to be able to... He knows where cameras are, apparently, because he orchestrates a way that she cannot find a camera to get on him. Has a truck pull up. We don't know this. Magically, a truck pulls up to, like, also, you know, hide him. Lock. And mm-hmm. he, in 5 minutes, was able to leave and have... Oh, wait, do we not... We don't know... Yeah. Do we know that he goes and talks to Helen Mirren?
We see it now, yeah.
We see it now?
We see it now, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so he can go to a bar, have a conversation with her, and then make it back to his car, and then have the other car move within 5 minutes? Sir, I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
No. Mm. No, it's so much moving parts that you don't even, that we don't even care about. Like, we don't know. Like, it hasn't been established what Cypher will do if she catches him or anything. So, like, there's no stakes for us. Yeah. It's like, and we don't even know, like, what mission he's on. It's like, I'm going to get a nuke. Hold on. Let me pull. But he still gets the nuke. And you're like, okay, so your plan still kind of sucks. I love when they reveal that it's the hunk, the Cuban hunk who's helping him out in the truck.
I loved it. That was a good little reveal. I was like, okay, so we did need that cold open, you know, he got the respect. So he's like, I respect that man. I should go help him with
I'll fly
a deadly
whatever
mission.
Country you need. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're able to track me down while no one else on your team knows what you're up to. You're able to track down a guy you met one day in Cuba and get me to fly to America and help you out. And I love when they show his face, a very memorable, handsome face.
Uh-huh.
They still show the flashback to Cuba to just be like, you remember this dude.
Come on, it was 2 hours ago, but you can remember this.
Right. That's the thing. The movie's so long. It's like, you've probably forgotten. You've probably fallen asleep and woken back up.
Yeah, how does this happen? Because at this point, he and Jason Statham are not working together yet, right? Because this is a scene where he asks, like, Mom, will you tell your son to work with me?
Yeah, he asks Mom. No, but then he shot Jason Statham. Oh, wait,
that was all staged. That's later. That's staged.
Oh, okay.
That's part
of it. That was after, yeah.
So anyway, Cypher fucking knocks cars out of buildings. Somehow she can hack into every single car ever made, no matter what year, no matter what kind of car. And she can hack into the computer of the car. She makes them go backwards, forwards, fall out of buildings.
I love when they say shit like, there's a ton of empty cars around, a.k.a. we're going to smash all these things and no one's going to die, so you don't have to get upset.
It's fine. Like, we're going to get them from parking garages. People are shopping. Mm-hmm.
And then it's all explained away with her going, turn off all the safety mechanisms on all of them. It's like, what is a safety mechanism? What do you mean?
Who cares?
Now we have full control of falling cars.
Yeah. Is this, now, what is the Eye of God? Is that a software that they're using to do all those things? Because they say that Cypher has control of it, right? Is that what she's using to make the cars do whatever she wants?
No.
Isn't that where she can see all the cameras?
Yes. Is that the God's Eye is from God's Eye. 7.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's what they rescue from Jimon Hansu and Ramsey, hot woman from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. She invented God's Eye. And that's, they use it to try to look for Cypher. Cypher uses that looking for it to counter, find it, and then steal it with in that moment. And it's like, what does she need the God's Eye for?
Okay.
I thought she's a better hacker than Ramsey. She can't make the God's Eye.
Yeah,
she found Vin Diesel. What else does she need to find?
So you're saying a black woman created something and then a white woman stole it.
Yes.
A white
woman with dreads.
So she's stealing a lot from the black women.
Cultural and digital appropriation.
That's right. She's taking it all. That's right. You don't like
IP
her.
IP appropriation in addition to.
That's right.
So, okay. So then the team intercepts Dom, Letty gets that thing. She's like, you won't shoot me. And then the other guy comes and he's like, maybe I'll shoot her. But then Dom escapes. He kills Deckard. And I'm like, so within this like eight minutes. So he had that five. Now we're up to like 8 minutes. Deckard's mom has called him already to be like, play dead. I had my cuppa, play dead.
I think this heist is a little further along timeline. Like they maybe had some time to set that up, but I'm not positive. Like mm-hmm. it seems like,
because it's and still also, the same.
Why only involve Shaw and not anyone that you're friends
right.
with
right?
for decades?
Like the bad guy. Also, this the way they get Dom out of the car is they put like the ropes into his car or whatever, and then they're like stretching the car out. But then, wait, does he throw the door off?
Let's talk about this for a second, because they all shoot the harpoons into his
yes,
car.
Yes, harpoons.
And they're trying to pull him in a certain direction, yeah. but he's got the most horsepower. And this 5, is the run.
5,000 horsepower.
Yeah. Dude, the dialogue in the scene is so upsetting. It's literally like, he's got to have 1,000 horsepower underneath that thing. Roman's like, 1,000? Try 3,000. And then Deckard Shaw goes, more like 5,000.
And then Tyrese is like, man, not the Bentley. Come on. I was like, bring it.
And who cares about the horsepower? Like, you guys are having the... Yeah, more like 5,000.
This is while they're, like, pulling on each other. They're debating how much horsepower is in the car.
God. It's so funny.
It's also a little upsetting that Dom Toretto is our car guru. This is the 8th movie in a row where we expect him to be a car guru. But he doesn't have the coolest, most tricked out car until Cypher gives it to him. And it has, like, a jet turbine and 5,000 horsepower. Power and it's bulletproof and it can drive. It's got snow tires.
Like snow tires. It can be on fire, drive through fire. It's wild. So then Cypher has Rhodes fucking kill Elena in front of him. And
this
then
is so fucked up, and it's so obviously the writers being like, we got to get Elena out of the picture, or else she's got to be in every movie as the mother and the kid. It's like, let's just fucking kill the bitch. Yeah, it's like, got it. It's like, headshot. Like, it's so
that's
fucking
so funny.
Flippant.
Oh, wait, and I forgot. He, when he meets the baby, puts his necklace on the thing, and the necklace is a tracker?
Yes.
And I was like, this necklace has a lot of heavy lifting to do in a lot of these movies.
It's gets a lot of play. It's like handed between characters in almost every movie. And we're supposed to, and he even calls it like a shitty $10 piece of silver or something like that. Or
but
in
like,
one of the earlier
Letty
movies.
Gave it to him, so it means so much.
Yeah, it's nostalgic. Does it have, do we know it's a tracker in any of the other movies, or is this the first time you
this
realize?
This is the very first time we see that it's tracking anything.
Long time to make it important, but not important.
It's it becomes more and more important each movie.
Yeah, he's like, it's got to be about family and my chain.
Family and the family jewels. So they infiltrate this Russian military base and they use EMP. We don't know what this is to disable their security. So Dom can just drive on alone. And I love how like every time they like see Dom, they're like, maybe he'll have a team. They're like, no, he's going to be alone. And then he's alone. And then the team arrives, shuts down the submarines. But then I'm like, why does Cypher want this submarine so bad?
Okay, let's talk about this ice fucking planet concept that
where are they?
So they're in Russia and they get a classic Fast and the Furious setup of like that Russian base is supposed to be empty. I believe everyone inside of it is now considered a terrorist or whatever. And it's like, so go kill everyone. They're not just guys who are doing environmental cleanup or anything like that. Feel free. And they show up in like 10 different really cool cars, pull into the parking lot and get out and enter the building. It's like,
they sure
do. And how come they never carpool?
They never carpool.
It's like, we need all 10 cars.
The cars don't each do something cool.
If one car gets hit, then you can tell fucking Tyrese to hold on to the door and then you'll pull him up out of the water and then he can fucking skate on the door. That's why.
I think they think this ice chase is very cool, but I don't think any of the set pieces in this movie rise to the power. I like the prison fight sequence. But that's more or less like a music video. It's not like anything interesting. And then I do like the cars falling and
I like
that sequence. But this feels like it goes on forever, and it's like now they have missiles and they suck with them. It's like, it's just, and also that's not Cypher's bad guys. That's like a different, that's like the Russian. And it's like, this is more complicated than it needs to be.
It's so complicated. And while that chase happens, and I do think it's like rather lackluster. Like, I think we've had more exciting ones.
Yeah.
I do like the sequence with Roman. He gets a fun sequence because they've been kind of setting him up as like the wuss or whatever the whole time. He gets that cool, slides on the car door behind, gets up, hits a dude with the car door, ices three dudes real fast, and gets like his little badass moment.
Yeah, because you think he's just like a goofy guy the whole time, and then all of a sudden he's like, I'm done with this, and he just shoots them all. It's pretty cool.
He literally says, I'm done with this, and murders people.
I feel like his agent requested, like, hey, Tyrese wants one thing where he's a badass. Please.
Right. Just one little thing where he's cool.
He needs a moment.
Because in six or seven, he chickens out on, dropping out of the plane in the car. They even call it out in this movie.
And he's like, whatever, I was having engine trouble. So then Deckard teams up with his brother Owen, who's out of a coma. He was really not okay one movie ago. One? Jesus Christ, these movies.
It doesn't even fucking matter.
No, it sure doesn't. So then they get on Cypher's plane to rescue Dom's son, and Owen takes control of the plane. He's like in the cockpit. Deckard gets the baby, shoots a bunch of people. It's real cute. They put earbuds on him or whatever, and they're like, he's going to get crazy. And then he's like,
you
shooting
like that
people.
Song, mate.
They're playing the little Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas song. It's cute.
Where's that smile? Did you shit? No, it was that man I just killed.
Of course we have the did you shit.
I do like when he says, were you about to shoot a baby?
You sick fuck. I like Jason Statham. I think he's great.
Me too. I don't think I had ever really paid much attention to him in other movies because I don't really watch a lot of action movies, but I liked him. I was like, oh, he's cute and funny and charming with the baby.
He's got comedy chops because he knows like, how to play his hardcore type for comedy as well. So he does a very good job, I think.
Yeah.
And just we'll talk about it next week on Hobbs and Shaw. It ain't the same without our boys and girls.
So then Cypher fires an infrared missile. Oh wait, so she fucking dips out. She's like, only one of us has a parachute. Tee hee hee. Bye bye. And I was like, bitch, I would put your hair in a bun because like, what if the dreads get caught on something anyway? So then she fires a missile at Dom, but like. It's a heat something.
Heat
Everyone
seeking.
Knows what it's called. A heat-seeking missile.
That's what I like about this movie too. Is like Tej or The Rock or anyone, they could just arbitrarily justify of like, what? They're firing heat seekers. We're toast. Like they know way too much about everything. It's like heat seekers. Are those CX-71s? We better drive.
As soon as they're fired, they knew what it was. As soon as she let them go, they were like, oh, we gotta go. It's heat seekers.
Yeah, and then Dom. He's done this a lot. He shoots the car up into the sky and he hits the fucking submarine and then the missile hits the sub and there's a huge explosion.
I don't give a fuck, but I do like the logic that it's like, it's a heat seeker. So he's like, all right, well, I'll throw fire on the back of my car and make the missile chase me. And then I will drive in a circle, make the missile miss me once. It'll turn and follow me. And then I'll hit a ramp and I'll bring this missile directly into a submarine.
I mean.
And aren't there nuclear weapons on the submarine or somewhere? I mean, right?
Yes.
Why are we not having like a huge explosion here? Huge.
Is Cypher on the submarine in this sequence?
I thought
she
was.
Cypher, she took a parachute out of her airplane.
Could have been a hairplane.
Well, because she has a woman doing her locks whenever she's up there, she calls it her hairplane.
It's my hairplane, bitches.
It's my hair.
I gotta say, they were the weirdest dreads I've ever seen. They were just like twisted. And I was like, how are they staying?
Right.
They're just like loosely twisted.
Yeah, it's weird. In the deleted scene in the beginning of the movie, do you see it on the Blu-ray where Cypher's on vacation in the Bahamas and she gets someone at the beach to do that?
Really?
I'm just saying. It does look like a white woman on spring break for sure.
If that was real, I was like, they should have left it in. The movie was already an hour or 2 hours and 15 minutes. What's another 10? So Mr. Nobody comes to the penthouse in New York where they live now. I guess they're done with LA because the house blew up, to report that Cypher is still operating, baby. So I guess she'll be back in nine.
Setting it up.
This was good guess.
But I don't need Cypher anymore. I want somebody else. Cypher was not interesting to me. Decker delivers Dom's son, putting their differences aside with Dom and Hobbs. Dom names his son Brian and celebrates with his family. The amount of times family was uttered in this movie. Cypher asks a question at one point. She's like, do you know why I did this? And he's like, family? And she's like, no.
No, man. There's other things to talk about.
Literally says, like, stop saying family. Okay. You can answer this question. Just not allowed to say family. Okay, Dom?
And he's like, but family?
How do I talk?
You just reminded me of, like, my favorite Vin Diesel moment in the movie, and I forgot to call it out. When it's like, we're setting up Cypher, like, her thing is that she, like, knows psychology and logic or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's like, are you familiar with choice theory? Here's the thing. You go to shoot me, my guys will come in here with blah, blah. And he goes, even if I could get to you, the two-person fail-safe wouldn't work because I'm alone! I'm like, what, dude? You're at, like,
gun in her face, screaming. Yeah.
What's the opposite of family?
Alone.
Alone.
What's the opposite?
Because I'm alone.
He was very unhappy. He's like, this is not what I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be my family.
All of his screaming was so funny to me.
Oh, it was a lot. His whole voice is just very funny to me. It's kind of like a very low frog sound. It was really cracking me up.
Boy, oh boy. And then Hobbs declines the offer to go back to, I don't know, being whatever the fuck he was. I was like, okay. I gotta say, I think maybe the worst one.
Yeah.
I did not have as much fun as I wanted to have.
If you just go, like, the way I look at these movies sometimes is like set piece to set piece, and it's like the action sequences in 5, 6, and 7 are better than the ones in 8.
Yeah.
And it's just like that. Then you can't hang. Like, that's what you're going to see these movies for. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of people, because I think 9 kind of course corrects a little bit. I think people knew that 8 was kind of lame. Like, I think people felt that.
Yeah, I was expecting a little bit more from it too, because I was like, you know, I haven't seen it since the first one. So I was like, this is going to be big, huge action sequences that are going to be super fun. And it was kind of like,
Yeah. Well,
you inspired to watch 9 at all, Nicole? After
is it out already?
8?
It's
available to rent. Yeah,
I would maybe watch it. Now I'm curious. I mean, I get curious now that I've seen it. Is it good?
I would
it's
watch
better?
4, 5, 6. Those are great. I really like 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, I like 5, 6, and 7. That's like my
so
favorite.
5, 6
run.
Is a good overlap. But I want to see them because, I mean, obviously they've been around for so long, there has to be a reason for it. So maybe I'll check them out.
9 is fun. 9 is like more heightened than you could really imagine. And I'm like, I don't even want to tell you some of the details, but 9 is wild.
What's that one called? F9? Is that what it's called?
I can't.
Like F9?
Yeah,
F9. Okay, they were just like, I don't know,
but
F9,
the people felt the same way we felt. It has 67% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. A critic from Vanity Fair wrote, it's still a whirling good time, but maybe the next film should pare things back, return to those simpler pleasures, cars and Coronas, the baking California heat, a simple backyard cookout. I fucking agree with this critic.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love the first one is so good to me, and then I do love, like, the wildness of 4, 5, and 6, but, like, it would be nicer to just, like, not have them be, like, impenetrable FBI fucking people who don't die.
That's what I was so confused about, because I don't remember the first one very well, but I don't remember them being impenetrable FBI people. Like, when they were talking about weapons of mass destruction, I'm like, what the hell happened in all these other movies that I haven't watched? Like, where am I?
In Fast 7, they say out loud, this isn't car stereos anymore. It's like, oh, right, the premise of one, we stole car stereos.
Well, really,
Nicole, to answer your question about pushing further and further away from the first movie, the next line in what you're reading, it had a budget of $250 million and by its end grossed $1.2
billion.
That's insane. My God.
So they don't give a fuck that
they
it's nothing
not
like
care.
One.
Don't
it's a money
a
factory.
It's
oh my
so
God.
Much money.
Pay Vin Diesel whatever he wants. Pay all these actors whatever they want, because the fucking movies are printing cash.
When the trailer was first released, it ranked as the biggest debut to date with 140 million online views in the first 24 hours.
Oh my God.
Also, this is the most cars being wrecked in a movie. Mm-hmm. Topping Fast Five's vault sequence and Fast and Furious 6's tank sequence.
It felt like it. When all those cars were dropping out of the building, I was like, damn. Like, it's all these such, they're so nice too, and they just destroy them all.
They just,
I guess that's the point, but also
crush
a lot.
Does Scott Eastwick come back in the next one?
I don't he does not. No, I'm pretty sure he's not. And if he is, he's not integral in any way. He's just,
he's
like,
very handsome, but like, fully like,
poor little
like,
guy.
Like, meh. I was so meh with his performance.
And again, just to be the white guy on the podcast saying, like, also, the crew doesn't need just another handsome white guy.
No.
It's like, it's evolved past that. Like, don't try to fill Paul Walker. Just keep adding rappers and DJs and shit. Like, that's like, those are the fun people to put in. Like, bring back some of those other. I don't give a fuck about Scott Eastwood. Like, the movie, they're bigger than that now, where it's like, unless that name that you want to drop in is like Mark Wahlberg or something, then go right ahead.
No,
like,
I don't want Mark Wahlberg to touch this franchise.
No, he would bring such, he can't, he's like
get
too wooden
here.
Yeah, he's like too close to Vin.
Well, he's wooden, he's too close to Vin.
He would step on Vin's shit.
That's hilarious.
We've come to the end. Nicole,
oh,
do you,
thank God,
do you, well, you have to, you got to get out of here. I'm trying to get you out of here. Nicole, do you have anything you want to plug?
You can, I think we already plugged it a little bit, but listen to The Scroll Down. It's another HeadGum podcast. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm on a cartoon called Jellystone on HBO Max, and otherwise just follow me on Twitter and Instagram.
I love
it. Hell yeah.
Hell and you'll dude.
You'll be tagged in the tweets and Instagrams about this episode. So
we love it.
So, and you co-host The Scroll Down with Marcela Arguello, right?
Yes, Marcela Arguello. Yes,
Arguello.
Just curious.
You nailed it.
Really
nailed
have just
it.
Been
I nailed
you
it.
You got
once.
It.
And I didn't nail it. I failed it. Anyway, Raiden.
All right.
So Blur said, please talk about Vin's tiny pointy nips. I've never noticed. Nicole's Dom impression is the best. Thank you. Gabrus knows stuff. It's a really fun time. Okay, cool. Refreshing. It's refreshing to hear. Oh, this is from Jesse Inferno. It's refreshing to hear the takes of people watching a fan-beloved franchise for the first time. As someone who watched most of the Fast and Furious movies in real time, the way Nicole and Gabrus break them down make me want to go back and take the ride all over again. Keep it up. Hope you guys do the MCU. We already did this, the Madea Cinematic Universe. So
okay.
Done.
Okay.
Kurt.
So keep listening. Keep writing reviews. Next week, we're back with Hobbs and Shaw. See you then.
That's hilarious.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Was a HeadGum original.